I welcome you to another episode of Restored Life Podcast with Stanley. Here we learn how to grow our knowledge of God's word and to rest in his goodness. On this platform, we'll share how you can act on the word of God, walk in your inheritance, and enjoy all God has made available to you in Christ Jesus. In this series on what do you do when what you've heard from the Lord or read from his word does not match your current physical experience. I've spent the last two episodes talking about the different groups of people in God's waiting room and relating it to probably what might be your current experience today. Many times we have to wait on God's promises to be fulfilled in our lives. And we looked at the different people who have had to wait. Today, I would like to go straight to talk about specific actions that will be required during the waiting period of your life. While you wait, when what you've heard or read from the word does not match your current physical experience, there are certain specific actions that you must take. And in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 4, we see that Elijah, after he announced the resumption of rain, we notice that there was no sign whatsoever that rain was going to fall. Yet God has given him specific instruction and promised that he was going to send rain. Yet the man Elijah had to wait. And he climbed the mountain, bowed down, and began to pray. He sent his servant to go and observe for a sign that matches what he had seen in his spirit. And for six times, there was nothing to show for what he had seen. There was nothing to show for what he had heard from the Lord. Yet he was certain that what the Lord had said and what he had seen in his spirit was going to happen no matter the wait. And so you know what? He sent his servant to go for the seventh time. And by the seventh time, there was something to show for it. And so from the example of the scripture, we can learn a few things, specific actions to take during the times when, our current physical experiences do not match what we have heard that the Lord said he would do in our lives. Number one thing the word of God shows us to do: do not base your faith on the presence or the absence of physical evidence, child of God. Don't look for signs, because our faith is a spiritual law that does not thrive on empirical evidence. Habakkuk chapter 3, 17 to 19 tells us, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like the deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. Child of God, be intentional to set your focus on God's lavish love. Do not waste your time, looking out for signs. Don't base your faith on signs or evidence. Rejoice in the Lord instead. Rejoice in your relationship with him, because your relationship qualifies you for every blessing that the Lord had made. Stay conscious of who you are, because you're a joint heir with Christ, seated in the heavenly realms where needs do not exist. Amen. The second point, be sure you're not the one opposing yourself. Because sometimes we want God to show us the full picture before we can take the first step. But that's not how things work. You cannot see beyond your last point of obedience. Ask Prophet Elijah, and he will tell you that, he had been following God's leading, one instruction at a time. Shut the heavens, and he did. Hide by the brook of Cherith, and he did. Go to Zarephath, and he did. And after over 3 years of obedience in his walk with God, God now instructed him to go and show himself to Ahab. Child of God, when you read about God telling Elijah, go and show yourself to Ahab, you must know that this was not a very easy instruction. It was the hardest instruction, because it wasn't the most convenient move at that time. Because for over 3 years, Elijah had been the most wanted man in Israel. Recall that Ahab had searched for Elijah in all the nations of the earth at that time. As a matter of fact, Ahab had signed extradition agreement with kings of other nations, committing them to arrest and extradite Elijah to Israel. Elijah was an enemy of the state. He was a fugitive. If he was caught, he would serve the severest penalty that anyone could serve for having been viewed as making trouble against the state. Yet God tells Elijah, "Go and show yourself to the man who seeks to destroy you." That was a tough instruction. Yet Elijah obeyed. Imagine if Elijah had disobeyed God when he was instructed to shut the heavens. He would never have seen God move so mightily through him. If he did not meet Ahab as he was instructed by God, the other events, including calling down fire from heaven, would never have happened through him. You know, in the times that we live in, it's trendy to be obstinate. Respect for authority is considered weakness. Disobedience, you must know, is disrespectful. And disrespect is harmful to family, workplace, church, or social relationships. The Bible shows us that disobedience is such a serious, a grievous matter with God that he considers it as witchcraft, as idol worshiping, or sin. And as you know, sin is so repugnant to God that he had to pay a high price for it, and he did so once and for all. It is therefore inconceivable to think that after God paid the precious price for sin on the cross, that he would put up with sin in any form. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 15 how Saul lost his kingship because of disobedience. And mankind has been subjected to unthinkable suffering here on earth due to the disobedience of Adam. And sadly, the suffering will continue in hell for all those who continue to live in disobedience against God. So if God is asking you to take certain actions, you will do well to obey for your own good. Disobedience has stopped men short of their own, God-ordained destiny. I therefore submit that walking in disobedience is the same thing as opposing oneself. If you desire to enjoy God's best, you must be ready to follow his leading at all costs. Think of it. Are you hindering yourself from being mightily used by God? If you discover that your protracted waiting experience is self-inflicted, then you ought to go back to God in repentance, and he'll be merciful unto you. Remember, the point is this: be sure that you are not opposing yourself. The next point to consider: do not begrudge God. It's so easy to begrudge God during your waiting experience. Chances are that you or someone who you know may have asked the question, "Why me, Lord?" Oftentimes we ask the question, "Lord, why me?" Usually you expect only good things to happen to good people and bad things to happen to bad people. But you see what? Life is not wired that way. Everyone gets a share of both. And when there is a delay or things don't happen as we expect, there is a temptation to begrudge God, to stop praying to him, to stop fellowshipping with other brethren, to stop believing God for anything at all. This is one way that Satan comes against believers. You must know this. He knows that when their fellowship with God is broken, it becomes easy to oppose them. So here is a piece of advice for you. Do not resent God. Instead, find out what his purpose is in what's happening or what's not happening in your life. There are no accidents with God. He's not the author of evil, yet he's able to bring good out of every evil. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 17 and 18 NLT from the New Living Translation tells us, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." So we don't look at the troubles that we see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. You know, while writing to the Philippian church, Paul discovered that his painful experience had a purpose that far outweighed the pains in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 and 14. If you find out God's purpose in the events of your life, child of God, you will discover that the waiting will be short-lived and that it's working out an eternal weight of glory. And you know God gives beauty for ashes. Remember that he already gave you all that you could ever need in Christ. Bible says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. So this is what you ought to do. Trust God and find out and find rest in him. Trust makes us believe that God has our best interest at heart, and therefore everything is working for our good. God's purpose for your life far outweighs all the problems that you could ever face. Remember the point, child of God, do not begrudge God. Do not resent him. Amen. I will continue with other specific actions that you ought to take when what you are currently experiencing does not match what you've heard from the Lord or what you have seen in his word. And until I come your way, in continuation of this series, stay blessed. Amen.